Welcome again to the Cannabis Investing Podcast, where we speak with C-level executives, analysts, and sector experts to provide actionable investment insight and the context with which to understand the burgeoning cannabis industry. I'm your host, Rena Sherbel. Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you listening with us, as always. Going to do something a little bit different today. As we suss out what's happening in the industry and which stocks are worth buying and if we should be selling any of these stocks that are hitting near to or close rock bottom, I thought it worth checking in with some of the analysts we've talked to since the beginning of the year. Primarily, we're going to be revisiting episodes with John DeCourcy, who's an analyst with Viridian, the episode we had with Jason Powers and Julian Lin, and the episode we had with Nick Gastevich. All of the analysts that we've talked to have had a lot of insightful things to say. I wanted to call specifically from these episodes, A, because they were recorded a few months ago, and it might be a nice chance to revisit them, and also to kind of remind us as investors what we're invested for, what we should be looking for as the catalyst, what we should be thinking about as the market in general is tanking, and as the industry continues to look like it's on the road to devaluation, but really what we should be thinking about in terms of real valuation and focusing on fundamentals and focusing on catalysts, but also asking the hard questions, whether or not we should still be invested. So I think this is a nice reminder, a nice time to catch up on reasons behind investing in this space and how we should be thinking about it as the trajectory of this year unfolds. First up, we'll hear from John DeCourcy.
You know, I think the near-term headwinds are, you know, they matter, but not that much. And they will be overshadowed as we kind of go forward with this year and as some new markets come online, that, you know, the markets coming online, you know, that was another hindrance to this year that is beyond any of these companies' control, that, you know, a lot of them had baked in maybe a bit of contribution from New York, some significant contribution from New Jersey, some more contribution from Illinois on new licenses issued, you know, even the Virginia market expansion. These aren't happening yet. And, you know, that's expected to be, as nothing comes quickly in this space, as everybody's learning and or has learned. But, you know, at the end of the day, all of those things, amongst many other favorable macro opportunities, are going to come to fruition in 23. And so growth will slow this year. And it should. It's just inevitable. But it will rebound right back in 2023 and beyond. And then on top of that, all of these companies have been building out assets and cleaning out their operations. You know, again, it would be great if they cleaned up their reporting to give people the heads up. But, you know, everything else has cleaned up so much and executed so much better that the fundamentals are better than they've ever been before. And so once that, you know, kind of macro backdrop comes back to being a positive, we are going to see, you know, some real results coming in 2023 and beyond.
And in terms of the supply and demand in the sector, do you feel like that's been exacerbated by kind of kinks in the system or, you know, some of the issues that have been particular to the past couple of years in terms of, you know, everybody having their supply chain working as efficiently and effectively as possible? How do you think about that? And how should investors be thinking about that, do you think?
Well, I think what we all need to kind of think about is just, you know, you have two kind of sides of the situation. You have a California, which just because of the illicit market and the way that operations have been taxed in the state, but primarily because of the illicit market, wholesale pricing is, you know, at the bare minimum for the industry. And it's a really challenging market to operate in. And as everybody knows, it's been a really challenging market. Just about everywhere else it's a profitable business. It's a profitable wholesale business. You know, there's, you know, grades of that profitability, but nevertheless, it's a business where you can be profitable and, you know, whether as a retailer, whether as a wholesaler, whether as vertically integrated, you know, it is a, you know, a high margin product at the end of the day. You know, and where on places like the East Coast and all new markets are going to have really inflated pricing in the early days, as it's just hard to get up to scale. And particularly in markets where there's not an illicit market that's present, you know, it's hard to get up to scale. And this is a product category that is sought after. And so there will be a lot of demand regardless of how the market actually rolls out. And so you're going to see that. You're going to see, you know, kind of fits and starts with the wholesale pricing as, you know, capacity comes online and as cultivation is built out. You know, you look at it in Massachusetts and, you know, just about every MSO is ramping cultivation capacity in the state. And they're doing so at a faster rate than new retail dispensaries are coming online. And in particular, a city like Boston, which is obviously the biggest population center in the city, as well as Cambridge, which is probably number two, otherwise it's just a big metro area that's essentially Boston. You know, these guys in those spaces, the dispensary openings are still even slower than elsewhere in the state. And so, you know, it became news with the latest earnings reports that, you know, pricing was coming down in Massachusetts and it was becoming more of a challenging environment. Well, number one, you know, that's inevitable and will snap back as more retail comes on and as kind of that supply demand imbalance levels out. But also, you know, the prices are still at, you know, well over $2,000 a pound. And so, you know, even with, you know, it was at three, and so that's come down a lot, but even so, it's still a very profitable business for well-run operators. And so, you know, the concerns for now about pricing in a state like Massachusetts are, you know, still overblown, in my opinion, as just over time, execution will get better from the operators. And so as pricing maybe creeps down further, it will never get to that California level, the really cheap California level. But as pricing comes down further, you know, these guys will be that much more efficient in operations and have that much more scale of retail, et cetera, to offset that. And so long story short, you know, I think pricing declines are inevitable everywhere, but that's okay because it's still a business where you can be profitable and, you know, the guys who are actually executing, you know, will be able to kind of offset that by enhanced scale, enhanced efficiency in operation, by building out better brands of products and things like that. And so it's almost that we're getting to a time period where investors need to just focus on who's going to be really well positioned and or ready to execute quite well, because those are going to be the ones that are able to offset pricing pressure. And, you know, gone are the days, and well, they will come back in new markets, but, you know, gone are the days when this is an easy market to just generate a profit where you could put any bag of flour and get a premium price for it.
Next up is our conversation with Jason Powers and Julian Lin.
I've had some great conversations with a lot of people that I respect in the market around just the market dynamics, the actual inflows and outflows and how these things are actually working because of the fact that we have this systemic barrier to investing from the institutional side. So, you know, how do we rectify if Ohio and Pennsylvania come online this November? How do we look at a growing green map and growing revenues and all of these things happening? And like you said, Julian, the market isn't responding to that. And the conversations for the last couple of years have sounded like this coiled spring approach that, you know, it's even further and further asymmetric. And therefore, when something passes, it's just going to 500x in a moment. I wonder if maybe there's more going on there. And if we want to look at it like a CPG, if we want to look at it thoughtfully, I do wonder if maybe we've almost put too much into this idea that there is an explosive re-rating. I think there is a re-rating, but is it as explosive as we thought 12 months ago, 24 months ago? And what happens if we're 2-3 years away from any kind of federal legislation? Does the re-rate keep shrinking?
As I mentioned earlier, cannabis stocks make up a large allocation of my portfolio, but I, at heart, I'm a generalist investor. So I invest across most sectors. In particular, I like to focus on the growth stocks. So what really attracted me to the cannabis sector was when I compared the valuations to undervalued tech stocks that I was also covering. I mean, I'm not going to compare them to the bubble valuation tech stocks. That would obviously be quite unfair. But I'm just talking about in regards to undervalued tech stocks. And this is important because the way that investors treat cannabis stocks versus tech stocks is very different. When in reality, longer term, I expect the sentiment to be more in line with how investors treat tech stocks, mainly because digital tech stocks, it's one of the more attractive long-term stories that you could find. So with cannabis stocks, it almost seems like if legalization does not happen, then 280E taxes will not be removed and these companies will not produce much profits. So it's some people think, oh, they're just dead money. But when you look at how tech stocks trade, a lot of tech stocks, they don't have profits, even though, but it's very clear that they will have profits in the future, just based on their high gross margins, their operating leverage. It's very clear that they're overinvesting in growth, but if they wanted to, they could show profits very quickly. But nonetheless, Wall Street tends to value these tech stocks not based on current lack of profits, but they tend to value them based on what they believe the long-term profit margins will be. So you see how with the tech stocks, Wall Street, or in any stocks in general, Wall Street tends to be very long-term, very forward-looking. They're not going to focus just on the lack of profits today. They're going to look at how much profits they're going to make in the future. But that just doesn't really happen with cannabis stocks. And I think that is the underlying reason why a big re-rating should happen. I think some of my targets tend to be on the optimistic side of things. I think when I look at the FinTwit universe of price targets, it does seem like a lot of investors, they are looking to sell after maybe a 100% or 200% move upward. But that doesn't quite cover it. Just to give an example, a very commonly used valuation metric would be to compare the growth rate. Basically, if something is growing at a 40% rate, you might expect a 15x price to sales multiple in the tech stock world. And cannabis stocks, I think, have one of the more attractive growth stories, just because, this is a whole economy coming online. So my idea is, like, if you thought video streaming was an attractive growth story, cannabis is even more attractive. Consider that even in a state like California, where cannabis is legalized, about 20% of adults use cannabis. That's astonishingly low when you think about just what cannabis is. But anyway, so if you assume like a 40% growth rate would lead to a 20x price to sales multiple, you just think about the long-term growth projections for these cannabis stocks. They're roughly around 30% annually. So you could expect them to trade around 15x sales once institutional capital will come in. And right now, I think they're trading around 3x, 4x next year's sales prices, next year's revenue estimates. So just based on the 1 to 2 year horizon, there is this at least 3x to 4x re-rating just on multiples. And then you got to kind of take into account the growth over the next 10 years. And you get some really fancy numbers that could be exciting and scary to think about.
Lastly, we hear from one of my fellow Chicagoans and favorite Seeking Alpha commentator, Nick Gastevich.
You know, I would say in the past 2 quarters, especially, you know, there's probably 5 or 6 different kind of factors all coming together right now. Number one, there's definitely been a slowdown in growth across key states that had previously driven a lot of growth in, you know, the top line revenue for these companies, as well as the margin profiles. So states like Illinois and Pennsylvania and Florida and Massachusetts for the past 2 years have grown at just exceptional rates, and more importantly, have operated with big supply demand imbalances that create really good margin opportunities. As those states have slowed down as of late, growth has slowed along with it. And then alongside that, we have, you know, large macroeconomic factors like the invasion of Ukraine and rising inflation rates that, you know, have all led to increased costs in general on the operating side. So not only are we seeing market growth slow, we're seeing margins compress, and then we're seeing cost increase. Unfortunately, the federal development is ultimately what's going to really guide this industry, because that's what really brings new investors into the space that, you know, we desperately need, because volumes in this industry are just anemic.
But do you feel like that requires, I mean, I get like the big picture about federal legalization, and I also get for social equity purposes, the big deal about it. But in terms of, and obviously I get like with institutional capital and just easier, you know, it's easier if it's not an illegal substance. But do you feel like there are workarounds that can be gained until we get to that place, which quite honestly, like seems a far ways away at this point? Do you feel like there's like, you know, little measures, maybe not this year, but do you feel like they might be, I mean, I know that this is like, you know, everybody loves to speculate, but are you kind of thinking that way at all? Or do you feel like federal legalization is kind of what we need to open up that volume?
No, I definitely think there are ways, and most of that, you know, at some point valuations will just become so compelling, just from either an EBITDA or price to sales perspective, that it'll just become a no-brainer for a lot of investors. And, you know, we've seen the industry run in the past, you know, having been invested in the space for quite some time. Like, it wasn't always contingent upon some sort of federal movement to get the stock market going. So I do think if we can return to some of those former growth rates, and I do think that's coming. I think it'll start in Q2 with New Jersey turning on, but then in the back half of 2022, and I think even more so in the first half of 2023, once, you know, states like New York and Connecticut and Virginia turn on, you know, those are 20 to 30 million groups of population that are now going to be adult use markets that weren't present before. And like we've seen in other states in the early couple of years of those markets, there does tend to be huge supply demand imbalances, and the margin profile on the opportunity is really attractive. So I do think if we can return to the growth rates we saw, you know, for example, in Q2, Q3 of 2021, it'll bring just attention to the space from the common investors. So I don't think it's fully, like, federal legislation is definitely kind of that rocket ship catalyst that's out there. But there can definitely be, you know, just steady, solid growth created from expansion into new markets and the development of the U.S. in general, because it's still very much early days. It's, you know, it's slower to develop than people want. But when you zoom out, there's only, you know, we're still very early on. There's only a handful of adult use states. Huge portions of the country don't barely have a medical market. And all of those are just opportunities for some of these companies to take advantage and really grow the business.
Thanks so much for listening to the Cannabis Investing Podcast. Subscribe or follow us on Seeking Alpha, Libsyn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher. And we'd really appreciate it if you left us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other investors find our show and makes us feel fantastic. If you have feedback or questions, we'd love to hear from you at RENAPOD@SeekingAlpha.com. That's RENA, the plus sign, CANPOD at SeekingAlpha.com. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice of any sort. I'm Long Trueleaf, Chiron, Isracan Biosciences, the parent company, Air Wellness, and the ETF MSOS. Subscribe to us on Libsyn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher. Thanks so much for listening, and see you next time.